broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
In this month of African American history, where we're trying to celebrate what
is good. I thought it was shocking that a teacher would say that, because why would you be a teacher?
Now, when you gut the EPA's ability.
The school does not teach Christianity.
That's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, a show for patriots by patriots, radio. At its very best, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We take this to the Looking Glass and beyond, places other talk shows wish they could go. We are a patriot conservative show. We are not a Tea Party conservative show so much as we are a patriot conservative show, although we are in line with whatever is best for our country, and we happen to feel that that is the patriot view. You know, what we mean on this show by that is simply this, you know, unless you're willing, and I hope, God forbid this ever be necessary. God forbid it ever be necessary. But unless you are willing to view your country the way you view your family, you would give your life for your family. Well, you should give your life for your country, too, if it comes down to that. We don't just ask a certain select few number of men under the age of whatnot who are in prime physical condition. You go out and you're the ones that sacrifice your life for your country. Every single solitary person that calls himself an American should be willing to do that. Otherwise, I don't really think that we qualify. And, of course, anyone can call themselves, as you and I know, anyone can call themselves an American because you only have to be born here now. Even if your parents are here illegally, you are born here, you're an American. Well, I think that just in my mind, and maybe only in my mind, it's a little something more. It takes a little living. It takes a little appreciation of where we are and who we are, a little appreciation of history of this place called America to understand what it really is to be an American. And I think we've distilled it on this show as patriot conservatives willing to give your life. A school district in Texas backs away from a mandatory Arabic studies course. A mandatory Arabic studies course after parents grew furious. And joining us this hour will be Professor Don Mixon from the University of Washington, who happens to think that these kinds of diverse educational programs are good. We'll talk to Professor Mixon about that. And our Patriot affiliates tonight in San Diego, one of the greats, KFMB 760 AM. In Roanoke, Virginia, WFJX 910 AM. And, of course, the Phil Hendry website, philhendryshow.com, where you can get our best of CDs, our shot glasses, our blog, our video cast, all of the archives, all of the podcasts available there at philhendryshow.com. And, again, our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Don Mixon up on the line now from Seattle, Washington tonight. Don, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
And Mansfield School District is in Mansfield, Texas. And I'd like to play just a little bit of audio here before we get into a conversation with Don. This having to do, as I mentioned to you, with the Mansfield School District having plans originally for an Arabic studies program after 200 parents showed up with questions at a meeting at Cross Timbers Intermediate School on Monday night. They decided that they would back off of plans for that. In interviews with KHOU Television and CBS Dallas, parents expressed their anger at this program.
The school does not teach Christianity, so I don't want them teaching the Islam.
And she had learned Spanish when she was in elementary school, and now they want her to learn Arabic.
It's them applying for the grant and getting it approved, and now saying they're going to be able to go back and change it only after they were caught trying to implement this plan without any of the parents knowing about it.
Don, this is a program that, again, that these parents say they didn't know about, and it's a program that would have implemented, mandatory Arabic studies that might have included, I think, mandatory language, I don't know. You've been involved in some of these things since I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, since 9/11, there seems to have been, and I mentioned this on a show last night, there seems to have been more and more. The emphasis on the understanding of Islamic culture or Arabic culture, and so forth, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but when it becomes mandatory.
Well, the idea of mandatory, Phil, was that as you mentioned, on September the 11th, 2001, we entered a new world. This country entered a new world in which we had to deal with the reality that we had some people very upset with us. Why were they upset with us? Well, that's part of what we have to figure out. And we want to know what could we have done differently? What could we have done that might have not led to this disaster on September the 11th? So myself and along with other educators across the country, we had a national CONFAP conference. That was CONFAP 1 in Denver, and that was in 2003. We had another one in 2006. And began to implement ideas whereby we would at least try and bring into the lower level grades, elementary school grades, programs that would teach the young people coming up how to be more in tune with you know, the Muslim culture, Arabic culture, and so forth and so forth and so on and so forth, so that we were not as offensive in some ways. We understood the Quran, understood the religion, so on and so forth. And that was the thinking of that. And then what happened was we made it mandatory, and we wanted to get it rolling. And one of the things that happened was the parents were not told, and they were not told for a reason. The reason why they're not told is because we want to get the program established, and then we want to get the program rolling so that there is a there's the roots have sunk, you know, and then after about, you know, 3 or 4 months, then you let it out that the program is happening.
Then you let it out that the program's happening. This is a very interesting program, Don. On the one, first of all, what you've got is mandatory Arabic studies.
When you say mandatory Arabic studies, it's a program. It's like it's arithmetic mandatory. Yes, it is.
No, I understand that arithmetic's mandatory. There's a reason for arithmetic, you know.
Well, there's a reason for mandatory Arabic studies.
Well, let's talk about the reason for mandatory Arabic studies, and then we'll get into the whole idea that the parents weren't even told about this because, and let me, I want to be clear. Why didn't you tell the parents?
Well, first of all, I'm not in Texas, okay?
No, I know, but I mean, you've had experience with these programs. Why are these parents not told?
Well, the parents are not told, before you, Phil, want to make this into a big deal, the parents are not told so that the program can at least sink some roots and get off the ground and get rolling. One of the problems we have with a lot of parents when we tell them that a program is now underway is that the parents will then come to the school, or they will they'll make an action in front of the school board and so on, and they'll stop the program dead in its tracks before it even has a chance to get off the ground. And they don't have any information. Most of the time, the parents are not really working with good information. They're not educators. And, it's kind of like asking a horse jockey, you know, how to put in the transmission on a, you know, Porsche Carrera. I mean, it's two different things. So that's why we didn't tell the parents.
All right, so you don't tell the parents because you want to get the program off the ground. But what is the program? The program is this mandatory Arabic studies program. And the reason why this program, and this is something that I find fascinating, the reason this program is implemented is because we need to teach our kids what is it we did wrong that brought on 9/11.
Excuse me. Hold on for just a minute.
Well, isn't that what you said?
No. I said that after 9/11, we began to look at, well, what could we do? You know,
didn't you say that what can we do better so that something like this doesn't happen again?
I said, yes, that we need to have a better understanding of Arabic culture so that our young people, the kids today, don't face the same thing. And so,
what does this mean, man? Does this mean that we put bags on our women, and that I start to learn how to wear a tablecloth on my head? I mean, what does that mean?
No, it doesn't mean any of that, Phil. It means simply acting out of respect. There's an awful lot of disrespect of the Arab culture, and there's an awful lot of righteous anger in that culture as a result of the way the United States and other countries have thrown their weight around over there. And the way to try and keep that from happening again is to begin to educate our kids that there are certain ways that you deal with Arabs, and you don't do things that are, you know, that's going to, I mean, excuse me for saying, but you're not going to do anything that's going to piss off, you know, these old jokes. Just never piss off an Arab, because the next thing you know, you're going to have this camel to deal with.
Well, what, let me ask you something. As a progressive liberal educator, what are that line supposed to mean?
What's what?
What is that joke, never piss off an Arab because then you got his camel to deal with?
It's a joke, actually, that was started by conservatives, if you want to know the actual truth, because it was...
Well, how do you know that?
Because it was started by British soldiers in the Middle East during the First World War, and these were very...
Well, why do you say those are conservatives?
Well, I don't know too many liberal progressive. No, they were conservatives. Don't worry, they were soldiers. They were colonial soldiers in the Middle East, so they are conservative as it gets.
And I'm not even sure I understand the joke. What's that mean? Arabs are married to their camels?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Oh, and but I'll tell you, Don, this is the honest truth. I've never heard that joke before until you told me the joke, and you're a liberal.
Well, all right, but I can tell you that if I hadn't told you, one of your conservative friends would have. And the point that I'm trying to make here, if I can make the point, is that we can find a way not to, like I said, not to piss off the Arab. And we won't have the same thing to deal with in another 20 years. So what kind of a world are we going to leave to our kids when we keep on... in a very ham-fisted, heavy-handed way, stumble our way through the world, and, to use the crude joke, we keep pissing off the Arab until the camel decides to load up an airplane and fly it into a building, So what I'm saying is, this is what...
All right, well, that's pretty much what I thought. I mean, that's pretty much what I heard you say. Let's teach our kids more about Arab culture, because it seems as if this is a very important thing to do. And, and by the way, don't tell the parents about it until we get it really up and running.
We don't want to tell the parents about it because it's a very... You don't understand, Phil, and I don't think your audience understands how difficult it is to implement a program like this. And then to have a group of parents come in a weekend, 2 weeks in, and just sort of walk into the classroom and start knocking over things... knocking down the desks, knocking down all the—it's almost like a group of—it's almost like a group of these skinheads coming in and smashing up an office where these parents come in and they see what we've done, the hard work the kids have done, and they come in and they start turning over desks. And
are you telling me literally?
No, not literally, but I mean this in a figurative sense. The parents come in like a group of skinheads that have no respect.
These are parents, sir, that you're comparing to skinheads. These are parents that don't want to have to be surprised that their children are involved in a mandatory program having to do with Arabic studies. It's got nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic. It's got nothing to do with anything that we consider to be very mandatory for elementary grade kids or middle school kids, for that matter. And yet, I don't know anything about it until a few months in, because you guys want to let it sink down some roots.
That's the way I've been taught. The best way to get a program in place is to get it in place before the parents come barreling into the classroom and pushing everybody around and beating everybody up like a bunch of skinheads. And I don't mean to use that.
That's a very unfortunate comparison, too. But I got to tell you,
No, I don't mean it literally, but it's the best comparison I can come up with.
Well, it's a comparison, again, that I find to be so offensive. These are parents, and you're comparing them to skinheads? And they don't want to have to be surprised. Hey, guess what? What's that? Well, we're teaching your kids mandatory Arabic culture. Really? How come? Well, we need to be more understanding. Why? This is a conversation I would like to have had before you guys implemented the program. Do you mind? We'll be back here with Don Mixa on this Arabic program in Texas that was implemented without the parents finding anything out about it. And why an Arabic program? Well, because we don't want to piss them off anymore. Our number is 877-876-7445. That is the Patriot Line, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, look at that. What are you looking at?
Kim Kardashian.
Welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots, by patriots, and our number, our Patriot line is 877-876-7445. Talking here to Don Mixa from the University of Washington about the Mansfield School District backing away from an Arab program an Arabic program, I should say, when the parents found out about it. Why don't you tell parents up front, Don?
Well, I like the way you pose that question to me. It's a very accusatory, Phil.
Well, it is very accusatory because you told me you don't tell parents up front. Why not?
I think I answered that question.
Well, I don't think it's a good enough answer. Why don't you tell the parents up front?
Well, we don't tell the parents up front.
Why don't you tell people what you told me during the break?
Because they're not going to allow it.
They're not going to allow it, exactly.
That's right. That's right. We are educators. Let me explain something to you and your audience, if I could, for just a moment. We are educators. We have gone to school for this. And we deal with a lot of parents that are coming from fear. We deal with a lot of parents that are coming from a misunderstanding. We deal with a lot of parents who have not entered into this kind of world before. It is very strange. It's very new to them. A lot of them are very, very frightened of it. And you have to walk them very slowly through it. They're wide-eyed and frightened. You can almost see the sweat forming as they look around them at this whole new universe of education that we are showing them. And a lot of these parents don't have a lot of education themselves, so that when you introduce them into this world of education and knowledge and information, which is so important, they react in much the same way any human being who has lived in a certain way for a long time. When you can talk about these primitive people, I'm not talking primitive, but they're frightened, they're wide-eyed, and so we know they're going to say no. So we try to get this program into place and then say to them, now the program is in place. How do you like me now? You know, unfortunately, I couldn't do that in Texas. And in Texas, they were stupid. If I had been running that program in Texas, I would have been a little bit quieter about it. But in Texas, this Mansfield group, they were stupid. They let the cat out of the bag. They let the cat out of the hat, or however you say it, and they let the something out. These parents, as soon as they find out about it, like I say, they're like a mob of hungry refugees or something, you know.
877-877-6-7-4-4-5. You know, you talk about parents like they're some Stone Age tribe.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did. Well, they're wide-eyed and they're sweating and they're looking at a whole new world of education that they didn't know existed. David in Walnut Creek, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Phil, you know what? I'm just going to make a plea of sanity here as a parent. Is that okay?
You can do anything you want, sir.
Okay, you know what? This guy is just completely ridiculous. He's just absolutely ridiculous, okay? There is no way. I mean, my plea of sanity is this.
Phil, and we talk about the Mansfield School District backing away from the Arabic program. Why do you not, as a liberal, admit, you know, you call yourself a progressive, right?
That's correct.
All right. And as a progressive, you would understand the first thing you want to do is contact parents.
We cannot talk to these parents at this particular time. We cannot talk to parents because the parents are going to tell us no.
And if the parents tell you no, that's the end of that.
Well, that can't be the end of that because we know more about it than they do. You understand that, don't you? You understand?
Yeah, I understand. I understand that you understand that and that you believe that. But how can you say that a parent is going to accept that? How can you say that a parent is going to sit there and say, well, you know what? They know more than I do. I'm going to let them go ahead with this program, even though it has to do with Arabic studies. These are middle school students, and they don't know a damn thing about this kind of thing.
I'll tell you why. Because we have learned that a wrong reaction is going to get us into a war. A wrong reaction is going to get us into more terrorist attacks. A wrong reaction is going to get us involved in a lot of things that we don't want to be involved in as a country. And if we can get our young people to at least understand the way the Arab does things from the standpoint of these new kinds of programs that we're implementing, you're going to see a country of people who are now going to stand before the Arab world and say, okay, what do you need? We are willing to start talking to you about it.
What do you need? To me, it sounds like one big fat program having to do with, I'm too chicken to face evil. I think what I'm going to do is make it all about me, and I don't understand anything, and the more I understand, and the more they're going to like me.
No, that's not what it's about. that's a typical kind of reactionary attitude.
No, that's exactly what I think it is, and that's why I say to you that the program, once the parents do find out about it, then they say they don't like it. And no wonder. 877-876-PHIL. It is the Patriot line here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. 877-876-PHIL. That's right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back with your calls. As Don Mixa says, really, it's none of your business if we want to teach your kids Arabic. We're just going to go ahead and do it, and you have to accept the consequences.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, the Patriot line here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. The Phil Henry Show, as we talk to Don Mixa, professor of engineering, actually, University of Washington, about Arabic studies in these middle schools, mandatory Arabic studies, and the fact that parents were not told about it. Do you think you should be told about it? Especially if it's something having to do with a course of study that will make kids more aware of what we need to do to keep from getting attacked again.
I don't think I put it that way, Phil.
Well, yeah, you did. You said that we need to not piss off Arabs, otherwise we got the camel to deal with. Remember when you said that?
That's an old joke. That is a colonial British wartime joke, okay?
Yeah, I know it's an old joke, but and it's a funny joke coming from a guy who believes in inclusive, progressive study. But the fact is, we're teaching kids about Arabic studies so we don't piss off the terrorists anymore. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe in Clearwater. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. First-time listener, and I'm just sitting here listening. And I'd like to emanate the fact that I'm going to use this guy's terminology. This guy's pissing me off. I've got little children being prepared in grammar school now, headed to middle school, and I certainly want to know what my children are going to learn in school, and I have that right as a patriotic American.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you don't have that right. You just don't have the right immediately.
Yes, that's the American way, sir. You're preaching to the wrong nation. Perhaps you should go over to the Arabic nation
and teach them the infidels
who want to kill us. Not to fly airplanes and kill 3,000 Americans here on our soil.
Absolutely.
Perhaps
absolutely.
You
You're absolutely
them,
right.
Not to
You're
hate
right.
us.
You're right. But we also have to teach our own kids not to piss them off.
What do we have to teach their kids to piss
yeah.
off? You tell me. We don't cower down. We don't bow down. We don't kneel down to any other nation in this world.
Well, that's...
We are
you know
the strongest...
What,
the strongest
you're listening
in the world.
To a little bit...
You're
listening to a little bit too much.
The terminology that you're using and the enforcement
exactly.
of an educational program
yeah.
that the parents are totally not aware of.
You were the one that started with this pissed off thing.
Well, I said, don't piss off the Arab. You'll have his camel to deal with. It was a joke. Okay.
You're going to
well,
have
you know
my camel to deal with. You continue to piss me off because I'm going to tell you, Buster, my kids
what
are going to have the
how
right.
How am I pissing you off? How am I pissing you off?
Right
I say.
My children are taught in a public educational school system.
What about that?
I said the man has every right, but not right away, because what we want to do is get the program up and running.
Sir, you are very un-American. You're very unpatriotic. I don't know where you
come
from.
What are you talking about?
You know what? You should be investigated.
Well,
the university you're teaching
that's your answer.
Has to investigate you.
That's your answer. That's your answer that I need to be investigated, because I'm trying to get a program in place.
That is my
so that
answer.
Your kids...
No, you're trying
so
to get
that
a program, sir, that's un-American, and you want to force it upon a school district without the parents' knowledge of what their children are learning in the classroom.
No, I said we would put it into the school district and then tell the parents, because, especially Joe talking to you, you sound a little hot under the collar. You're going to come right
I am
into
hot
the classroom.
Under the collar. I'm going to use your terminology.
You're going to come.
Me off.
You're coming into the classroom, you're turning over waste paper baskets, you're throwing stuff around. And we
I'm
going to
walk
classroom
through
thing.
A classroom and turn desks over and throw wastebasket around. Are you sometimes...
What does that mean? That's the stupidest thing.
I'm saying that in a figurative way. I mean it symbolically. I don't mean literally.
Well, what does that mean symbolically? What does that mean that parents are going to upset your very fine and careful program? Now, you started this whole thing, Don, by saying that we need to teach our kids about Arabic culture because we don't want to piss them off anymore, so they attack us. This is, you know something, you walked right into it, man, because this has always been my suspicion. From day one, it's never been about inclusiveness or diversity. It's been about a country cowering in the face of a new kind of violence that this generation is not used to, is not ready for, doesn't want to define, doesn't want to deal with.
Those are all very beautiful words, Mr. Henry, but we created a situation in this world whereby
we didn't create anything. These people were brought up under an idealistic, radical manner in which they wanted to kill infidels. That's us. We didn't ask them to come here. They have learned this since they were little children themselves. You're teaching them. You're preaching to the choir here, sir. You belong in that nation.
Why
they need not to hate America or any other
country. When they put the twin towers. They put the Twin Towers up there. That's going to piss anybody off, unless it didn't piss me off because I'm an American. But
what do you mean it's going to piss? What pissed them off?
The Twin Towers.
Pissed them off? Why?
Why? Because you got two big Twin Towers saying, look at all the business we're doing. Hope you're enjoying eating sand.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Eating sand, huh? You know what? The money that we've laid on Saudi Arabia for oil and the other countries of the world in terms of the resources, eating sand. Those cats are over here, man, buying racehorses, you know, golf courses, you name it.
And sold by conservatives and the neocons that have made the Saudis rich. George Bush and his connection to them.
Oh, here we go, man. You know, I'm not going to argue that bullcrap with you, but I will say that you're the one that admitted it. You said that these Arabic programs are in these schools so that we can learn not to piss off terrorists. Thank you very much, Joe, for your call. The number... All right, I'm sorry, I just got to move on. 877-876-7445, the Patriot line here on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Here is Chuck in Apple Valley, California. Go ahead, Chuck.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I'd like to ask you a question. Have you ever read their Quran?
Is the gentleman talking to me?
Yes, have you read their Quran?
I've read parts of it. Yes, I have.
You haven't read the whole book?
I have not read the entire Quran, although I believe I've read the relevant sections.
Have you ever read their hadiths?
Well, what is the point of the gentleman's call? What do you want to say?
The reason I'm calling you is that...
Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Have you read the Mahabharata?
Yes. And
you
if you notice
Mahabharata?
It's all in violence.
The Mahabharata is the longest book in the world, so I doubt very seriously whether you've read that.
It's a book of violence. Okay.
The Mahabharata is the longest book in the world.
All right, let's get to the point here.
I'm trying to get to the point. He's talking to me about the Bhagavad Gita.
No, he's talking about the Quran. Have you read it? No, you have not.
I said I read the Have you read the Bible?
I'm reading it.
Okay, well, why don't we all get together and have a...
Can you let me finish,
some kind of a daisy chain? What's that?
Can you let me finish and make my point?
Well, go ahead. You were asking me questions. Okay. It sounds like we're putting some kind of a late-night daisy chain together here.
Will you watch your language, if you don't mind?
So I'm trying to make a important statement here. A lot of people don't realize that the Arabs are trying to conform to their ways. Okay?
Oh, In England,
there is no free zones. And that means that if you're not an Arab or if you're not a Muslim, you cannot walk in those neighborhoods. Would you want to be in a neighborhood like that in our country where you don't have the freedom to go where you want to?
I don't know why it would be that I'd want to go anywhere, sir, whether that I'm not wanted.
Wait, hold on for a minute. That's not what the man asked. In this country, we can travel any damn place we want.
Would you go into South Central L.A.?
The fact that I might not go to South Central L.A. at this hour has got nothing to do with law. The law says I can. The law says I could go down there and get money out of an ATM.
But would you?
It doesn't make any difference. The law says that I can. And what Chuck is saying is laws are being implemented where you can't walk into these neighborhoods.
Well, I don't know about what his background is. He was talking about sitting around and reading the Quran, which I think is a very unusual pursuit, let's put it that way.
It's a hateful book. It's a hateful book that attacks Christians and Jews. Okay? They're violent.
The fact of the matter is that is an ignorant point of view. That's exactly why we have to teach our children because, Chuck, you have just said something that means I've got to go back to that school now and get these Arabic studies implemented because of what you just said.
Why?
Because of his big mouth. Yeah, because of his big mouth. Now I have to go and get kids educated because I know that he's going to tell them that it's violent. And
well, you know, this was all about parents and what parents have control over and what they don't have control over. And it sounds to me, Don, like you want to have control over the education of these kids and not the parents.
I want the parent. Are you a parent, Chuck?
I'm still here.
Are you a parent? Do you have kids?
No, but I work with kids.
Okay, that's it. Thank God.
Thank God, huh?
Yeah.
You ought to hear the scary things that I hear the kids say. They can't talk about scary things the kids say.
What about how the scary stuff you're saying?
I don't like the idea
of this guy being around children.
All right, Chuck, I'm going to take another phone call. I appreciate it, though. 877-876. Phil, here is Jordan in Peoria, Illinois. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, Don. I just had a quick point.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not bad. My point is this. You know, you were saying that you want to get this off the ground before you even tell parents about it. But you know what?
We need to.
We're the ones paying the taxes and the tuition for our children to go to school. We have every right to know what's going on. We have every right to make the final decision of whether that gets implemented into the system or not. Not you.
The problem we've got, though, is the fact that we have probably a limited amount of time before the next. And I'm going to come right out and say it to you. We've got a limited amount of time before the next airplane comes into the next building, and we've got to get kids, you know, up to speed on how to talk to these people so they don't jump up and down and go wild and take over airplanes.
You know, and that's sensitivity.
Oh, boy. You know, that sounds to me like you're dealing with, you know, you want to have sensitivity?
We want to do something, Mr. Hendry, that you and your neocon friends would never do, which is to have an understanding of culture. Now, these people are going to jump up and down and go wild on you if you don't give them money or whatever they need.
See, with all of your sensitive liberal ways, they're nothing but a bunch of monkeys jumping up and down and going wild and taking over airplanes.
I did not say monkey.
No, but that's about what you're doing, man. That's what you're doing. That's what you and a lot of liberals do. You talk about diversity and inclusiveness. Well, really, you're just talking about them like they're a bunch of wild apes that need to be tamed.
Well, let's tame them. You know, you're talking about teaching these kids to be respectful and everything. What you're really doing, you're teaching them to get down on their knees and bow to these people. You know what? We don't do that. If they don't like the way we do things in our own country, too bad. You know, I'm not too worried about what they're doing over there.
We're not asking to bow down, but we are saying if your daughter is in a Muslim home and they want her to put a, what do they call it? I don't know what it's called, but they put the burqa. If it's offensive to look at her, what do you expect her to do? Do you expect her to stand there and offend everyone there? Or put the burqa on?
I
know you may think your daughter's beautiful, and I may think she's beautiful, but if the Arab family that she's visiting, or the Muslim family, is offended and sickened by her...
That's not why she wears a burqa.
Yes, you don't know any. If they get sick looking at her...
That's not why a woman wears a burqa if somebody gets sick looking at him.
You don't know anything about Arab culture, and this is the problem with our country. We got a bunch of ignoramuses that want to... You know, shoot the missile first and ask questions later.
Listen, Jordan, thanks so much for your call. It has to do with modesty.
You know, it does not. You know, it has to do, Phil.
It doesn't have to do with sickening people.
It has to do with having the respect of when you go into whatever you want to call it, Arab or Muslim house, and the Muslims look at your girlfriend, and they literally get queasy. She's got to go into the bag. That's why they have it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about anybody, and I would, you know, I don't know anything about getting queasy. Everything that you're talking about has to do with backing up, being fearful, being frightened, not wanting to go here, not wanting to go there, not wanting to offend anybody. Don't tell me that this is about inclusion, and don't tell me this is about understanding. This is simply about being afraid of the wild animals over there, and you call yourself progressive.
Yeah, well, you call yourself conservative. Your solution to the problem, Mr. Hendry, is to simply turn the whole thing into a sheet of glass over there. Just turn all that sand into glass using a nuclear weapon or two, and I'm sure you'd be very proud of yourself destroying what's left of the world's fossil fuels. And I'm telling you that it is better to understand a country's culture, and that your wife or your girlfriend or any female in your family, if she sickens or nauseates the people that are looking at her, she's got to get into that bag or whatever you call the burqa, or what they call BB, back into a burqa. And because they feel that everyone was born originally in a burqa, that is the Arab way. And
And I suppose I'd learn this if I would study up.
Yes, yeah, there you go. Ding, 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 ding. There. Give the man the prize. You would have known that had you studied.
I would have known that had I studied. And these children would learn about Arab culture. They'd know that too, huh?
Yes, they would.
They'd know about the fact that if they knew about Arab culture, they'd know that their girlfriend or their wife or their daughter, if they sicken or make the family they're visiting queasy, they BB.
Are you laughing?
Yeah, I'm laughing.
BB is back into the bag.
And that's a Muslim term, huh?
Yes, it is.
877-876-7445. That is our Patriot line tonight, as we hear that the Arabic, mandatory Arabic studies program in Texas that is being endorsed here by Professor Don Mixa is really about teaching our kids not to offend any more potential terrorists. How about that, folks? You want to take your kids and put them in school and make sure they learn the ways of Middle Eastern culture so they don't piss off any more terrorists. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You never heard of BB.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for patriots by patriots, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And with me is Don Mixa, who has been a friend and a longtime contributor to our program from the University of Washington. But, Don, you were a classic liberal. I don't think you would deny that. And what you are suggesting here, and this is all off of the Texas, Mansfield, Texas school district that had implemented a so-called Arabic studies program, including language, and backed off of it as soon as the parents found out about it. Now, you have said you try to hide these things from the parents.
Well, you've got to hide it from the parents.
Why?
Well, I've already told you why. I mean, I don't know how many different ways you want me to tell you why it is we have to hide these things from the parents when the parents are the ones who are the individuals, more than anything else, who impede the very good work that a lot of teachers are doing, trying to get our kids to understand, you know, that if you don't understand certain areas of Arab culture, you're going to plant the seed of resentment that one day flowers into a ball of gasoline going up in flames, 50 floors up.
What a gruesome thing to say, and what an absolutely feckless and impotent thing to say.
Impotent?
Impotent. What an impotent way to respond to terrorism. You said a moment ago, I'd rather have a woman, quote, BB, back into a bag than face this thing head on.
You said once, if you're living in a culture, don't you learn the language? You want me to what? Stand there and let my wife sicken a family?
I don't know what you mean by sicken, and I don't think it's got anything to do with going into a burqa. Let me take a phone call, 877-876-7445. Here is Joyce in the Bronx, New York, listening on WWRL. Hello, Joyce.
Yes, good day. I have two suggestions.
Yes, ma'am.
I feel that the parents should have the right to vote on the sharing of different languages, cultures, and customs, and music, and art with any and all groups. And then they can plan to have special events around all of this. And then, secondly, then parents, again, should have the right to be able to vote on whether they want new languages and different language introduced to their children. And I think that's fair because we live in a changing society. After all, I know that here in New York, we've learned Spanish and we learn French. And so, I mean, Spanish comes in handy here, but French, not so much as Spanish would be. I think that was fair, being that we live in a changing world. And that's a way of getting groups and stuff together. It works well. We've done it around African-American history, which I am African-American. We've done it around Spanish, Cuban. We spoke and talked about all those things and sharing culture. I grew up in mixed neighborhoods back after the Second World War, and I really think it's a wonderful, healthy way to do it, but not to keep it from parents, because I used to be a family worker. You don't do that.
You gotta at least let the parents decide.
I was with Joyce. I tell you, Joyce, this is Don Mix. I was with you all the way, Joyce. I was with you all the way until you said what you said, which was parents voting on it. I wish I could get you to understand that. Do you remember the poor lady that was attacked by that chimpanzee in Connecticut? Do you remember that?
Yes, with her face.
You remember that?
Totally.
Can you imagine 100 of those chimpanzees descending on one or two teachers? That'll be horrible. That's what having to deal with.
Oh, come on. Will you quit making
you
these stupid comparisons?
That comparison for me.
That's
no
an
comparison.
Asinine.
Well, I...
No. I'm a former family worker, and I'm also education.
You're a former
math and language. And that's not the way to go. I work for the Board of Education.
I am frightened to death. I don't want to have these teachers as all of a sudden it's like romper stomper, you know.
We get the skinhead thing. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Joyce.
New York.
Thank you very much, Joyce. Phil.
You may have worked for the public school system where?